We got three lessons up there for you today. They're all interrelated. You should be able to pick them out pretty much. But first one is Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 11. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Ushers will bring you one. Your phone will work. Anyone need one, just holler. Make sure you have one. I expect you to teach what you're being taught. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Beezrite, and his son Gideon was where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have, save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Second lesson comes out of Isaiah 55. Try to be alert and see some of the things that I'm going to try and tie these all together for you. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so in my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." Our last reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here ends the readings. I'd like to invite children to come down if you would. Got one more. Here, you can sit right there. There you go. That's good. Art, you want to sit by the girls? That's okay. Whatever. Starting young, but it's all right. Good morning. Has anyone ever told you no when you ask for something? Like, you know, when my kids would get older, they'd say, "Hey, Dad, can I have the car keys?" And sometimes Dad would say, "No." Have you ever asked for something like this? "Dad, I want to cut something. Can you please give me a..." What do you think Dad or Mom would say? "No." This is dangerous, isn't it? I hope I never do that. Some things are a little different. I got to figure out how to open it. It's childproof. I won't be able to get it open. Can you see these little things? You see them? They look like candy, don't they? If I asked my mom or dad if I could eat them, what would they tell me? Because they're medicine. Even though they look like candy, they're really not. How about this one? Anyone like orange, little orange things? This one, I could eat this. You know, I could go like this and eat it. And I will, because I like these. And No. Oh, these are good. All right, you can go back to your seats. You know what that is? That's medicine. It looks like, but it's really, you didn't know that. And you thought maybe I would share it with you, but I wouldn't do that unless your mom or dad said it was okay, and then you can only have maybe one. Because otherwise, some of the things in this could maybe hurt you. So one of the hardest things when people say no to us is we want to figure out why they got to say no and how come that happens. Because when we realize that, we begin to understand. My sermon is about when God says no to us. Sometimes I did things, but I didn't ask, and I got hurt. In some cases, I got hurt really badly because I did not ask. And you don't want to know why I didn't ask? Because I knew my mother would say, "No." How dumb is that? How dumb is that, right? I don't want to be that silly and that foolish. If I've learned something, my mom and my dad love me very much. And every single time they told me no, they did it for my own good. Now, I'm going to try and talk to the big people today because they were praying and we were praying for someone named John Palese. You may or may not even know him. We were praying that God would heal him. We were praying that God would bless him. We were praying, and you know what God answered? No. And you want to know what I want to do? There's a part of me that wants to cry. But there's also a part of me that knows, just like my mother and father, God loves me very, very much. And you know what else? He loved Mr. Palese very, very much. Now, I don't always know why God does what he does. It's a little bit when I look at a piece of what looks like candy, my mom or my dad may know it's medicine. I don't understand that, and I'm not even going to tell you what's in here right now. But this medicine is for you at a certain time, but not at other times, because it's not candy. And so when God says no to us, sometimes we figure out why. And sometimes we don't know until we get older. For instance, if you asked for the car keys, what would I tell you? Because you're not old enough to drive. Right. You got to be 16, right? The other thing I want you to remember is sometimes your parents will go, can we go around the block? And sometimes they'll say yes, and sometimes they'll say no. Because there's things around them that they know, that they see, and they understand. And they're telling you yes or no because they love you. Can you remember that for me? Yeah. Learn to trust that mom and dad when they say yes, and sometimes when they have to say no, that they're loving you very much. All right? I got a treat for you today.
Ladies first.
Yeah, ladies first. And you're my assistant, honey.
No grass. No
oversee them a little bit. Just lean over the top. Take one. Wait, don't pull. I'll take care of him. Thank you for being a good brother and trying. We'll get you up there. There's plenty of food. You're welcome, honey. 5, 4. Don't run. Don't run with a stick. 3, 2. You're welcome. Thank you, Eddie. Ever seen that children's illustration or program or sequence where they go, one of these things is not like the other, and you got to try and figure out which one's different? They give you a choice of 3 or 4, whatever the number is. I've been a while since I don't have little ones at home. I don't watch that stuff as much. But which one of these is not like the others? Here we go in terms of this whole thing. Got to figure out how I go here. All right. Start at verse 19. John's disciples told him all about these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? At that time, Jesus cured many who have had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. Second one, starting, this is Luke 22. I should have told you the first one too, but it's in Luke 22, starting verse 41. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. The last one comes out of Daniel chapter 3. Starting at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Which one's not like the others? Ah, nobody answered. Amen. The very first one more time. John the Baptist. Do you know what he was asking for? How come I'm in jail? I thought you were God. I proclaimed you as Savior. And I'm in jail and they're going to kill me. Where are you, Lord? Are you really the Lord? Are you really the promised one? Are you really the Messiah? This is a serious, serious conversation. John says, go ask him. Jesus answered, I am who I say I am. You figured out what happened in John's situation, however? God answered, Jesus is knelt down, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done. How is that prayer answered? No. Three men in the fiery furnace. How was their confession answered? Yes. Our God is able to save. Do you understand that no is as valid an answer as a yes answer? I didn't want a no answer. I've been arguing with God, crying about it, blaming myself for not being spiritual enough, and a lot of other things that God has worked in my heart through this whole process of loving John and his family, dealing with this terrible, terrible situation that they had gone through. And in the middle of it, I'm constantly reminded by the Lord that no is sometimes the answer I will give you. And if I can say no to my son, and if I can say no to John the Baptist, who is one of the greatest men born of woman, according to Jesus' own testimony, why is it I can't say no to you? I remember the story of King David, the wretched man that he was, committed adultery, got confronted by Nathan. The child is born by Bathsheba that was conceived in adultery, and that child lives for a certain length of time, and that child dies. King David was in his room weeping and crying before the Lord, and his servants were terrified of going to tell him that the baby had died. But when they went in and finally said, "Sir, the baby has died," he stood up, he got and cleaned himself up, put on clean clothes, and they said, How come you're doing this?" And David said one of the wiser things that he said in this condition and state. He said, "He will never come back to me, but I will still be able to go to him." And in that moment, he understood there is nothing more I could do. The fight was over. God had made the decision. That child was dying, just like it was prophesied, even though David didn't want it. Try to understand that yeses and noes to God are absolutely critically important, and they're not given lightly, and they're not given to betray, undermine, or destroy you or your faith or your walk with God. And so we come now to this text that I picked for today, and I want to focus on the first one, which comes out of Judges. And I had the opportunity, a privilege, to preach over at chapel at Lake Country Lutheran this last week. It was just wonderful being with all the high school kids, and we were all sitting in their new, I guess we'd call it an auditorium or a place where they do plays and stages and things like that. But I got to do chapel. And I had picked a bunch of different texts to use, but this one just leapt out on me that day, and God spoke so much to my heart that I felt it was the right one to share with you to get started on what we're talking about today. This is the one that comes out of Judges. And if you look at it, it points out these things to you. Gideon is afraid. He is a nobody. He's hiding in a wine press. And he's winnowing grain, which is the dumbest thing you can do because you need lots of fresh air to winnow the grain. But he's hiding there because the Midianites have terrified him and his entire family. And they're hiding out. Into that setting now, the angel of the Lord comes, stares straight at him, and says these words to him. The angel of the Lord, and as far as we can tell, that's Christ, appeared to Gideon. He said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." There's absolutely no reason on earth that this wussy guy, this wimp of a human being, by earthly standards, should be called mighty warrior. But he is. So I want you to take your wimpiness right now. I want you to take your weeping and your no-gooding and anything else you got inside your head, and I want you to hear instead God's message to his people right now, as he points it out to us in these words, as he goes, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." God has not forsaken us. God has not turned his back on Lamb of God. God has not stopped listening to your or my prayers. God cares, but he operates, like that second text pointed out, in ways that we can't comprehend. And I don't want to even begin to speculate. I don't want to even second guess. I prayed for a miracle for John's lungs to clear right up to the point when I got the text that he's gone. That was my prayer. But there's a part of me now that understands, like David, I know John cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. And like someone shared with me this morning, why do we spend so much time trying to live and stay longer down here if we believe what heaven is? Like one guy joked about it. He said, I asked myself when I got to heaven, it was a joke, I think, but I got to heaven, I asked myself, why in the world did I ever take all those vitamins? Should have gotten up here a lot sooner. All right? And I go, there's a smile, a laugh. There's a reality to what God is doing in working us through the prayers answered and the prayers not answered. Pastor Shim, I've been praying for, he's being restored. My friend Rick, whose father died, I'm going to the funeral this afternoon. And in the middle of it, God is working out his grace, his mercy, and his love in each individual's life. He's working in my life. He's working in the testimony I give or the things I share with people. And you begin to understand God has not left us nor forsaken us. And so when you hear those words spoken to Gideon, and then I love his next line. It goes, mighty warrior, but sir, if the Lord is with us, okay, why has all this happened to us? Boy, did that strike a chord in my heart on Tuesday or Wednesday when I preached over at LCL. Oh, wow. Because I'm thinking about John. I'm preaching a sermon to them, but God's doing a work inside my own head and heart. And he goes on from that point and he says that phrasing, why is all this happening? Where are the wonders that our fathers told us when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of COVID and a strange and wicked government and a lot of situations. I like it because that's who I am sometimes. I have a Gideon heart. I run, I cry, I weep. Where are you, God, when I want you, when I need you? But I also understand what God is answering back because it comes from that point, and the Lord immediately responds to Gideon, and he turns to him and says, go in the strength you have. What do you got, Harmon? Stand up. What can you say? Not what can't you say. What can you bring to the fight? Not what can't you bring to the fight. And he tells Gideon, you don't understand what's about to happen to you, Gideon. I see you through the eyes of trust, hope, and faithfulness. I see you with the eyes of an all-powerful God who is looking at you and asking you, stop looking around, stop waiting for more, and understand God is going to give you the strength that you're going to need, Gideon. Now, if you know anything about the rest of the story, Gideon is frightened through the whole thing, just terrified, asking for, do another trick, Jesus, and then prove it to me. Finally, he gets down to his 300 men, and he takes on the Midian army, and he gets all done, and they throw the torches and the pitchers down the mountainside as they come screaming down the side of the hill. The Midianites come running out of their tents, and they end up killing each other. And the truth is, Gideon didn't even have to fight in one sense. The words of the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoken to Gideon, were true the moment he said them. Hail, mighty warrior. You are a mighty warrior. You just don't know how or why. And you go, I'm old now. I used to be young. I'm now weaker. I'm this, I'm that. Shut up. Sorry, parents. I know that's the wrong word. Be quiet. Here's God looking at you going, go in the strength you got. I want what you've got. What can you contribute? Not what don't you have. You don't compare yourself to someone that can do something that you can't do and say, I can't do that, but you can do this. You can respond that way. You can make a difference. And that's what God's inviting you to do. And in that, he says, and I will go with you. And so now, into this situation and into that text, I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8 as we focus on the realities of this, going, your ways are not God's ways. You don't understand how critically significant your yeses, your noes, your prayers, your joy, your sorrow are going to be in the lives of people around you, because God has his hand in it, because God is walking with you, because God is living in you, because he's carrying you to places you never dreamed you would go. And he always asks you, I'm not asking you for what you don't have. I'm asking you for what you do have. Can you put your arm on their back? Yeah? Can you tell them I love you and mean it? Yeah, I can do that. Good, that's all I want. Okay. Do you understand? You have no idea what God is asking for you to do. People are finding that even under the middle of COVID and all the fear and everything else is going on, you can pray with people or for people in ways that we never would be given the opportunity before. You don't understand the power of the grieving, of carrying a family who has gone through this pain like one of our families went through it earlier and now in one sense is reliving it. Can we carry them? Can we learn how to do that? And you go, I don't even know what to say. Don't say anything. Go up and shake their hand. Put your hand on their back and say, I don't even know what to say, but I love you guys. Do you understand? You bring what God has given you. You bring it so that he can multiply it. You bring it so that Gideon could defeat the Midianites. He brought what he finally had. He ended up defeating the Midianites, and he became the hero in that sense. He lived up to the name that God had given him. And that's the call that I want us to hear. So verse 31, as we end the first 8 chapters of Romans, is all about the gospel, the power and the mercy of God for sinners, no matter what race, nationality, creed, whatever they're from. This is God's commitment to them. And we get now to the end of chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? What are you afraid of? Well, I'm just me. You've always been just you. Never was much to work with, Bruce. What am I bringing? Whatever I got. Who can be against us? 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not, along with him, graciously give us all things? If he was willing to sacrifice his own child and do that work, what makes you think he won't meet your needs? I don't want to pretend I don't even know what Midian is in your life, but I know this. There are people that need to be saved and loved, nurtured, guarded, protected, and encouraged. There are people here that just need a look from you that says, not sure what to say, but I love you. And so you begin to understand as we go on for this, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Has he chosen you? Then who's going to bring it up against you? He goes, if God has set you free, why are you spending all your time worried about what he or she thinks? Why do you waste any time caring about what they say or think or the way they behave toward you? God hasn't called you to live under their thumb or under the power of their tongue. He's called you to live and sacrifice and bring what you have to the battle. What have you got to bring to the battle? And who you are is unique, one of a kind, and will give you, like we learned in Nehemiah, you'll have a place on the wall. You'll have a battle to fight. You'll have a weapon that's unique to you, and each one of us can begin to understand the call of God. It goes on from there. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Do you understand? You thought you prayed hard for John? God whispers and says, I stayed up all night. I know some of you sacrificed a couple hours or more. Thank you. He's not angry. I'm just telling you, I stayed up all night. I've been praying for John and his family in ways that you won't even be able to comprehend. God is interceding for me to learn the lessons I have to learn while I'm learning to pray for John and his family. God is interceding for me so that I find the right text to share with my brothers and sisters in the fellowship so that we walk down this path with integrity and faithfulness and obedience. He goes on finally and he says this, who shall separate us from the agape love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, the phrases that you begin to understand are so critically important when we begin to understand them. It goes, I want to find it in my Greek here. Who shall separate us, put room between us and God and the love of Christ? Will pressure or tribulation do that? And the next one, the word is distress, translation. Narrowness of room. I can't breathe. I feel like it's closing in. That's how I feel under a mask. It's also how I feel when I get distressed. I don't like to admit that, but it is. You feel like things are closing in. I can't turn. I just need something that's happy. And I go, can persecution, scarcity of food, we have the word famine in some of your translations, but scarcity of food, they're predicting that. We will experience that, they're threatening us with. You're beginning to see the shelves empty out in some cases. Nakedness, danger, or punishment or sword. Judicial punishment is also the word that can be translated there when you are intimidated by the government. Will the government be able to tear you away, cause a separation between you and Jesus Christ? Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. But you can walk away from it. So build your courage. Grow up in the Lord. He will not let go of you. And so you begin to understand the beauty of this. For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be butchered. No, in all things we're more than conquerors through Him. I didn't win. My prayer was not answered. Yes, I lost. That's what I think. God whispers to me and says, no, I have not forsaken you. Nothing shall separate you from my love. I heard every one of your prayers. I felt every one of your tears. I know what you were asking. I know the work I was doing in your life. And that becomes God's work in my life to that point where I can finally begin to understand that phrasing where he points out, I am a conqueror. I am receiving super abundantly more than I can possibly ask or imagine. I don't know everything God is doing. I do know that each death I work with and each family I work with changes me. I don't know where it's all going to turn out. And I can't pretend to tell you, even in my own life, all the things God's trying to teach me. As He tries to broaden my shoulders out and make my heart bigger and give me the ability to carry and walk with, you know, brothers and sisters through whatever circumstances they're in. And so you and I are understanding this. I am a conqueror. And he finishes this off. I am convinced. I live with a conviction that neither death nor life, angels or demons, present or future, nor any power, supernatural power, unusual power, height or depth or anything else in all creation, any created thing, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. You haven't lost. You got told no. You're not getting the car keys. No. You can't handle that sharp knife. If I gave you the gift of healing, you wouldn't even know what to do with it. It'd destroy your walk with the Lord. Sometimes the answer is no. I can't say why. But God hasn't stopped loving you or me. He hasn't stopped committing himself to you and me. And we're trusting that he will continue to do that. Pray with me if you would. Mighty warriors, calling our Savior and Lord, our King and General, we're crying out to you for the kind of strength that only you can pour into us. We're asking that the Gideon part of our life, our faith, our actions would be touched by your presence, Lord. There would be healing and understanding, and there would be a work of your Spirit in us, Lord, to change who we are and how we think and how we act. We're asking, Lord, that you would teach us how to grieve with those who grieve, celebrate and be joyful with those who are joyful, but also, Lord, to trust your word, that you are accomplishing your purposes in the yeses and nos that we get, in the blessings and difficulties that we go through, and in the circumstances we all deal with. We're asking for the fullness of your Holy Spirit to reach into our hearts, speak to us now, pour healing over each and every one of us. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.